Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 513, Science Faction, the lightning round. I told you, I have a sound effect, Damien. You don't have to do that.
It has been years. I'm sorry, I forgot.
That was not years.
Yeah, that was intentional. And truth be told, so was the last one. But at least I had a flimsy excuse before that last one.
And speaking of flimsy excuses, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, my comedian, Mr. Damien Ricardo. Damien, how are you doing this afternoon?
I am doing great because I do not have to participate in the auditory snuff production that is I Call BS this week.
No, you do. It's just that you can only listen to it on Patreon. These fine people instead will be getting our lightning round this week.
And our Patreon will slowly become then like the hotel from Hostel. People pay money to listen to torture.
And then during our live shows, once COVID's over and we can do live shows again, there's just there's a line of people lining up and I hand one of them a drill and one of them a claw hammer and you're just sitting in a chair.
You're like, well, Damien, that was corrected. You did win. And I like breathe a sigh of relief as I'm like tied into this chair and I'm bleeding all over with several wounds. Like, oh, thank goodness. Unfortunately, I thought I heard a Happy Days reference. No, please, please, no. Sorry, superfan Dwayne. Looks like you get to use the drill.
And now we've got our own science faction torture device. It's like an Iron Maiden, but instead of spikes, they're dicks.
Just a lot of rubber penises, like, ah, ow.
No, no, like, they're made out of metal, so they will actually kill you when we close it. It's just, like, it's not as quick, you know? Like, it's really more of a bone-breaking type thing.
Like, if a bullet was pressed into you with, like, a hydraulic press, it's going to penetrate you.
But yeah, exactly.
It's going to crush.
Worth it. All right, guys. This is, of course, the lightning round. It's a quick game that we used to play a while back. We wanted to give you guys something since we're taking away the free I Call BS. And I basically just read the headline to a recently published science article, and Damien tells me what he thinks of it. All right. Damien, are you ready to play?
I am ready to play. Quick little background. This is kind of similar to the premise of I Call BS, but we take out the game show aspect of it. And because there's no question, Bobby allows me to see the fact beforehand.
Yep.
So judge me on these jokes, not the I Call BS jokes.
We judge you on it all. All right. Article number one. Worldwide cases of measles have gone from 132,000 in 2016 to 869,000 in 2019. And the 2019 death toll was the highest since 1996.
This was very interesting. And when doing my own research, I was able to draw two key points. 1996, 2019, Pokemon. Pokemon debuted in 1996, and kids were too busy catching them all to get vaccinated. Now they're adults, and now they're too busy playing Pokemon Go, and they left their kids in the car, so they're not getting vaccinated, and they're dead from heat stroke.
Wow, that was the one you wrote ahead of time, huh?
Believe it or not, I actually struggled over that one quite a bit. That's where I landed.
Indeed, and believe it or not, this you can't quite just blame this on Jenny McCarthy. This is actually a huge rise in third world instances of measles, and that has a lot to do with our inability to vaccinate certain groups of people in war zones and third world countries, et cetera, et cetera. Very, very sad. Hopefully something we could get kind of under control, because keep in mind, when we got down to 132,000, we were pretty close to literally eradicating this disease. It wasn't that far away from being the next smallpox, and we have since let that slip to the point where we're edging on a million. We're absolutely going the wrong way. All right, article number two. A new paper warns that COVID precautions may end up causing large outbreaks of the flu and RSV rhinovirus later on.
Yeah, I checked on this article. Doctors did confirm that there have been large outbreaks of the flu and RSV. And I even saw a public service announcement, and it warned the public about the dangers of the flu. But they also admitted that an outbreak of really sexy vaginas is an unexpected but welcome side effect of COVID precautions.
All right, that was better.
Listen, really sexy vagina spreading all over town is pretty cool. We don't mind if COVID sticks around.
This is interesting because I actually thought it would be the opposite. I thought some of these strains might go extinct, and they actually might because, you know, again, if they're not getting transmitted, people might not see them. And we saw the lowest flu season ever in the Southern Hemisphere this year as people quarantined and stayed away from each other and wore masks and social distance. However, one of the ideas, and we've seen this before, including in the previous flu epidemic of 1918, is that as people quarantine and these viruses don't circulate, some of the inherited immunity you would have gotten from getting sick with a regular rhinovirus throughout the year, you lose, and then everybody gets it at once because a lot of that acquired immunity has essentially gone away. You don't keep it for that long. So basically the idea is if you don't get a cold in a year, you're more likely to get a cold the next year, and now nobody's gotten a cold in the past year, and so therefore there's likely to be big outbreaks of diseases like this once we get out in the open. Very, very interesting, and I would not have thought that would be the case. Article number three, wolf attacks on beavers are impacting the biome of national parks.
This story reminded me of the last thing my grandfather said to me before he passed. Damien, come closer. Tell your children that I was also a sick-ass wolf who destroyed entire populations of beaver.
That was a badass grandpa.
And then he died shortly after that sickly cough, doing what he loved, making people give him a forced high five. My grandpa was awesome.
This is about the wolf introduction to certain areas of national parks, including one in the northern Great Lakes region. Very interesting. What's going on is basically for the past, 100 or 50 years when there have been no wolves there, beavers are just building dams wherever they want. Man, beavers have gone crazy. They don't give a shit about anybody anymore. They think they're the king of the roost. They're the big man on campus, the big beaver on campus. And basically, they reintroduced the wolves, and wolves were like, oh, bitch, you want to build your little dam where I can get at you? You're dead. And so now the beavers are having to build their dams like strategically in specific parts of the river, which, as we look at it, was probably how things were in a natural biome, so they didn't get eaten by things like wolves. And so, in a weird way, we thought like the prevalence of beavers as they came back 40 or 50 years ago would have made the place more natural, quote unquote, but it wasn't. It was artificial because they didn't have this predation. And now that the predation is coming in, it is limiting the amount and location of where those dams can be and kind of reinvigorating the natural biome to a place where it's more like it used to be with a balanced ecosystem. Really, really interesting. Article number four, the San Diego Zoo has apparently cloned an almost extinct horse from 40-year-old cells.
This doesn't surprise me. Horse semen gets better with age. Secretariat's horse stew, no different.
Yeah, so this is an interesting one. This happened, I think it actually, technically speaking, happened like exactly in between where we are talking right now. I think the San Diego Zoo is almost exactly in between our two houses.
That's where they keep horse semen? So close to us?
This is going to be an Ocean's 11 type thing, isn't it?
When you put together a crew.
The key is instead of sneaking it out as the SWAT team in bags, what we actually do is just install really long straws.
I'm also picturing us going to like San Diego's most legendary sex freaks and perverts. We got a job for you. Horse fucker Jim. Never thought I'd see you again, you old so-and-so.
So this is the Porosky horse or Porosky. It's got like four Z's in it. I don't know. It's a weird Kazakhstan name. And it's from like that Central Asia area. We used to think they were actually wild horses or the remnants of all wild horses. They're not. We now know that they were feral. They come from a domesticated stock from a while ago. But they are a very divergent genetic lineage of horse that's very, very different than the horses that we are used to. Very interesting to see. They're like short and stocky and kind of weird looking. And basically they had some cells from one of these horses from a long time ago, and they actually cloned it. So they used a donor egg and they, wiped out the inside of that egg and then, put this genetic material in there and then had a modern horse carry it. And they cloned this thing to try and keep this alive because the amount that's the ones that are alive now are a very narrow genetic stock. So they found some tissue from a dead one that had been frozen at the San Diego Zoo for 40 years. And they're like, we need to make as many of these as possible so we can increase genetic diversity and hopefully keep the species alive. Really cool. Not necessarily because I think this horse is that neat. It's a weird ass looking horse, but like just because I love this idea for keeping species alive that have gotten to a genetic bottleneck where they're not yet extinct, but they might as well be because we don't have anything for them to breed. If we have tissue samples that we could then clone something so they could then breed with that cloned thing, either we bring about the apocalypse or we can save some species.
I would love it if cut to the scientists as they're getting ready on the day of to do the experiment. They go into the freezer, into the vault in the freezer. And they open it up, and inside, where they normally would see the cup of horse semen, instead, it looks like when Santa, like when you leave cookies out for Santa, and your parents kind of nibble on the cookies, and then like drink a bunch of the milk, and there's a note that says, "You weren't even going to drink it." Signed the Horse Semen 11 crew.
Oh, dear. Article number 5, the first ever run of the Virgin Hyperloop with passengers successfully ran last week, ushering in the future of transportation.
I read about that. I did think that whoever they hired for their marketing team or whoever writes their ads, the guy must be unfireable. The guy must be just untouchable. Look at this ad for the new Hyperloop. Travel with us. We're fast. Maybe not as fast as your partners say you are in bed. But at least we'll leave them satisfied. Hyperloop!
Well, here's what I think is funny about this. So you might have noticed, I didn't say Elon Musk or Tesla's Hyperloop. This is the Virgin Galactic company owned by Richard Branson that's doing this. And this has been kind of an ongoing science story. They are developing their own Hyperloop, which was Elon Musk's little pet idea and his idea, right?
But they're doing it in Britain, where they have to transport on the other side of the loop.
No, but think about this. Like, Virgin Galactic was the first private space company. Richard Branson was like, I'm a billionaire. I'm going to make my own space company. Then Elon Musk came and he's like, I'm making SpaceX and we're going to be better than Virgin Galactic. And they were. He did a better job. He has better contracts and he's, you know, accomplished more with it. And then you got to think, like, Richard Branson sitting around, he's like, oh, right, motherfucker, you want to take my idea for a private space company? I'm going to take your Hyperloop idea and I'm going to debut it before you.
I was thinking, well, how could he one-up him on PayPal? Just... I will individually mail every American $100,000 so they don't have to use your service.
It is a great idea, though, because it's the idea that it's going to replace, you know, air travel, train travel and everything. Think of a tube that they essentially is airtight and they can remove all of the air in there. And then either through magnetic lifts or just, you know, very, very efficient coefficients of friction, you can run this thing at like 700 miles an hour. And unlike getting on a plane, you don't have to take off. You don't have to land. You can kind of pop in and pop out like you would on a train, assuming you are, you know, strapped down. The numbers on it are crazy. I mean, you're talking about cross-country journeys that take like 50 minutes, you know, like you could go from LA to New York in like 45 minutes or something. Just really crazy numbers. When you look at it, it has to do with a lot of the fact that you don't have to worry about when you're landing compared to when the other guy's landing. You know, it's much more like a train track in terms of getting things on schedule. You're not getting snow delays or weather delays. Everybody can get in and out really quickly. And, you know, you don't have to worry about somebody grabbing the controls and running it into a skyscraper. So there's some safety things that get knocked out there as well. But
you have to be worried about the tube hitting a ramp and you just flying.
The invulnerability to weather, all that stuff. It really does seem like this will be the future of travel. I'm very excited about that because I fucking hate airlines. They're the worst. Like, just go TSA, just all of that stuff. It's just the worst. And similar to that South Park episode, I have been desperate for something to put them out of business for a long time. So I hope that this works.
But, I mean... it's a privilege to pay for a carry-on bag.
And last article, a new personalized cancer vaccine is showing good results in phase 1 trials.
That sounds interesting. Go on.
Okay.
It's not all jokes, Bobby. Cancer's not funny. Do you want to do a science article about the N-word and have me riff for 10 minutes about that? You sick bastard.
We've talked about this all the way back when we had our guest host Jackie on, who actually worked with some of this stuff. And this is a really interesting idea, and it's about immunotherapy for cancers. In this case, they're doing treatments for head and neck cancers. And it's the idea that if you can teach your immune system to go after cancers, which are hard to do because cancers are your own cells, and so normally your immune systems don't go after them. But if you do, not necessarily by itself, but in conjunction with other drugs, you might have a really effective treatment. Because especially if you can teach your body to attack cancerous cells, then you wouldn't have something like a reoccurrence after remission. You know, you take it out, let's say you essentially train your immune system to go after these cancers and you use some chemotherapy, you get rid of the cancer. If the cancer starts growing again, now there's nothing you can do until you notice it again, then you go back to chemotherapy. But then, at the small scale, your immune system will probably handle it no problem. So we could kind of get rid of people essentially getting cancer repeatedly throughout their entire lives. And the idea is, if you can have an immune system version of a cancer treatment, well, once you beat the main cancer, you are done. Your body knows how to kick the shit out of that thing if it starts cropping back up again.
Using a vaccine to stop cancer. What's the mechanism of action? Are people who are autistic just immune to cancer?
All right, thank you, audience, for checking out our first in a long time a lightning round, where you learned all about how measles is going crazy in the world, about how COVID precautions might cause bigger outbreaks of the flu and RSV, how wolves are regulating beavers to make the natural biome of national parks like it used to be, how the San Diego Zoo has cloned an almost extinct horse from 40-year-old cells, how the first ever run of the Virgin Hyperloop with passengers was successful, and how a new personalized cancer vaccine is showing good results in phase one trials. Thank you so much for joining us. Please go ahead and check out our iCall BS on our Patreon, and we'll catch you back here next week for Science Faction 514.
Grandfather, you didn't die. You have something else you want to tell me?
Yes. Smell my fingers.
You've been listening to Science Fuction. Wait, that's not right.